All right, good morning. As you rest on your back, since everyone here has some familiarity with awareness through movement, get a sense of the five lines, meaning the primary line from the base of the trunk, the base of the spine, tailbone, following the spine through the base of the neck, and then the base of the skull and the top of the skull, top of the head. And in that direction, from, if you were standing, it would be bottom to top. So it's a line and it also has direction. And then the other lines starting somewhere in the low part of the trunk, the lumbar spine, through the bowl of the pelvis, through the hip joints on each side, if you can locate them, and extending down through the big bone of the femur on each side and through the big joint, the knee, down through the ankle. And today, let's be specific and make it through the center of the heel. The central line extending through the whole of the trunk, neck, and head, through the top of the head, or to the top of the head, and the two leg lines extending from the middle of the trunk, the middle bottom part of the trunk, the low part of the trunk, through the big hip joints, the big knee joints, and down to the center of the heels. And then add in the arm lines, the starting from the base of the neck, that big vertebrae there, out through the center of the heavy joints of the shoulder, or the large bones of the upper arm, humerus on each side is found where it joins the shoulder, and through the elbows, through the wrists, and as you wish with the hands, perhaps to the palm, or perhaps extending through the fingers. And again, in those directions, out from the middle. And get a sense of the composite set of those. So maybe you imagine or you draw out for yourself in some way the sense of each of these lines, and then maybe you do it in chunks. Oh, there's the two leg lines. Okay, that's clear. Oh, there's the two arm lines, and then you connect them with the central line, or you do it in another way, or you can certainly make these kind of composites of different pieces of the line, the line of the left leg and the right arm, for example. You could position those for yourself. Where is one relative to the other? And of course, they correspond to you, your real joints, your actual joints. Though that might be a little tricky to find, the hip joint, the big shoulder joint, it is there for all of us. They are there. And then, or now, get a sense of the breathing. And really, perhaps before you drew your attention to it, it was certainly going on. An an inhalation, an exhalation, and to the degree that you can, with your attention present, don't do anything particular with your breathing. Here, quietly resting on the back, what is your sense of the where do you breathe? Where do you breathe? What moves? Where do you move to inhale? Where do you move to exhale? What's the relative length of each of these phases, the inhalation and the exhalation? Is there a little pause after the exhalation or after the inhalation or not so much? Really, just take a look around. Find yourself. And think through for a moment, keeping some sense of the five lines, which we'll let go of and let fall into the background as the lesson progresses. But if you were standing, would your heels be under your pelvis, or would they be a little out to the sides? And what about where your shoulder joints relative to the center line? Where's your right arm relative to your right hip joint in particular, which is deep in the middle, not, it's off to one side, but it's deep in your pelvis, not, it's not superficial, it's not on the edge, it's not in the middle. And once again, get a sense that the breathing can continue here at rest easily, simply, that the likely small movements of respiration can just go on without any particular need to be attended to or changed. All right, make your way to sitting and then to stand. Perhaps articulating the five lines to do so. And pause in standing here. Get a sense of the top of the head, the sense that the chest perhaps hangs freely and that the breathing is easy. Hopefully it's easy. And a couple times here, standing as you are, settle back a little bit so you increase the pressure in the heels, and then come forward a bit, just to a more even distribution of weight in the feet. Not really coming onto the ball of foot, but just neutral, well-distributed front and back, the pressure, and then come onto the heels a little more clearly. And note what that's like. There's more than one way to do that, but there are a limited number of ways to do that, of course. And note the neck, the jaw, that the eyes rest easily on the horizon. And pause in the middle. And now bring yourself a little bit more over the right foot, and specifically the right heel, and you can then extend the left foot a little out to the side, the left leg, just take it to the side so you're not carrying any weight on the left foot. Feldenkrais says, touch just with the toes of the left foot. Maybe you want to lift the heel there, And see what you do, what how you shift to the right, what you notice as you shift onto the right heel and come back perhaps to standing a couple times. Just so you see what happens in that right hip joint. Where do you find it relative to the heel of the right leg? How does that leg move when you come a little to the right? All right, and now stay on that right heel, and Feldenkrais is clear that we're on the right heel, and there's not a lot of work going on in the leg. The knee is quiet, the hip is quiet, or we work to make it quiet there. And take the arms forward, extend them out in front of the shoulders, gently somehow. You don't have to do anything in particular with your hands. And begin to, with no weight in the left foot, pivot the whole of the set of the left leg, the pelvis, the two arms, the head and the trunk, and pivot around that right hip joint so that the pelvis turns a little back, comes back to neutral and a little forward. And take care that the standing leg is quite quiet. It might be a small movement. You don't twist the right knee at all. You just turn the whole of everything else on top of that right leg. And you go each direction. It could be quite small. Attend to your breathing. You leave the eyes on the horizon. So the pelvis moves and the shoulders move together. You only differentiate at the right hip joint. And, you know, pause at any point. Set the other foot down. Lower the arms. Just try it out a little. Think it through that the one line of the right leg is still and everything else together turns around that hip joint and back. And perhaps it's a little unclear where the hip joint is, but we'll get there. All right, pause in standing for a moment as you wish. And now come back to standing evenly, and then shift over onto the left heel. And really clearly Feldenkrais says here the heel and not the ball of the foot, so that you find the line from the heel to the hip joint on the left. And how does that shift? What happens to that line of the left leg as you then extend the right leg just gently to the side, touching down either the tip of the toes or something gentle, so there's no work of supporting yourself in the right leg, which is off to the side a little bit. And then bring the arms forward and comfortably somewhere and leave that long left leg quiet and turn everything else together. Maybe the left foot slides on the floor a little bit since there's no weight in it. You turn it a little forward, a little back, searching out that right hip joint. So the left hip joint, excuse me. The right hip joint does move, but it's moving relative to the left. Again, a couple times, come and go from it, lower the arms, stand on the other foot, see what it's like to really carry weight through that quiet left leg without a lot of work in the hip or in the knee, just the weight through the heel up to that joint. All right, and when you've got a sense of that or had a sense of it, let's come to rest on your back. What's your sense of the five lines here? And what's your sense of the breathing and the activity of the chest, the abdomen, without any particular notion to change it? Right? Come up to sit for a moment. And take a look over here, if you would. I have a prop. This pen can be our prototypical stick for purposes of catching one of the dynamics in this lesson. And if a stick like this tips from side to side, something Feldenkrais calls this out in the lesson, as the top goes to one side, it also gets closer to the floor. It's kind of funny to me. I think, like, oh, right, once it's over here, I'm aware that it's getting closer to the floor. But actually, as soon as it moves even a little bit, it's actually just a teeny bit closer to the floor on that side, and over here too. So there's an arc that the top describes. And if this were your leg, and this were the hip joint up here, the top of the pen, well, the hip joint gets a little lower as it goes to this side, and a little lower as it goes to that side, and it's at its highest point, right in the middle. And Feldenkrais makes some comments here, like, that is where, in any particular other arrangement of yourself, there's minimal work in the leg to support yourself, and that's one of the things that we're after in this lesson. So, that's the end of that. please come up to stand again. And sort out, you know, take care of yourself, but bring yourself a little to the right to come over the right heel again with the long leg. There's no work in the right knee, and as we go along, perhaps less and less work in the right hip. And get a sense of that as if the leg were a stick. As you bring the weight onto the right heel, how does the stick move? In other words, what's happening in the right hip joint? And then stay off to the right a bit and extend the left leg a little out to the side so that you're not taking any weight in it, and not too far, so just quite comfortable, long, and maybe you're touching the toes, maybe you're leaving more of it on, but you just don't support yourself with the left at all. And now begin to shift side to side so that the right hip joint swings over the middle of the right heel and then maybe to the inside and back to that high point and then out to the outside, say. And what do you do with the rest of yourself? Feldenkrais stresses over and over again in this lesson, the weight stays on the one leg and the chest, the belly, the neck, the head are free to adjust as the pelvis changes, position of the pelvis and the hip joint change. So that you leave the eyes on the horizon and see, again here there's more than one way you could do this. If you go very slowly and softly, keeping the chest soft, the breathing soft, do you take your head with the hip joint, or is it possible maybe to begin to think that you could to some degree leave the head a little bit in the middle, not perfectly still, it will move side to side, but that you don't swing the head over side to side so much. And this requires a little articulation in the trunk so that the trunk is free, the breathing is free. And of course, as before, pause whenever you like, stand back on the left leg, move around a little bit. And Feldenkrais says here, do very easy movements, very soft ones, as in the movement of blinking, that kind of softness. All right, and pause and standing for a moment. You can walk around a little bit, but note if you've had to sort something out. Is it uncomfortable to be on the heel a little bit? Is it uncomfortable to be over that one leg? Or is it pretty straightforward? And now come back to standing and try something similar off to the left. So the eyes are on the horizon, the chest is soft, the spine is soft. Shift over onto the left heel, specifically here, not including the ball of the left foot. Of course, there's some weight there, but the emphasis is on the heel. And what do you do? What's your sense of that whole left leg into the hip joint? And what do you do with the rest of yourself as you come over the heel? How does the leg swing in space a little bit? Staying off the right leg. Once you go a little to the left with the whole of the hip joint, a little to the right, and look for that highest point. Where's the middle? And check that you're not holding your breath in any way, that the rib cage is soft, the belly is soft, and that if you're leaving the eyes and the connection to the environment intact, that maybe there's some movement at the base of the neck, and the whole thing is soft. And try out going a little bit quickly from smaller, finer, a little wobbling, tipping the leg one way and the other, so that the hip joint moves to the right and the left. And then try that on the right leg a couple times, a few times, several times. That the left becomes quite light, you're supporting yourself entirely on the right heel or close to that, and you'll go lightly, quickly. What happens in the neck and head? Is it possible that there's a little freedom there? You know, the breathing is soft. And stand in the middle for a moment. Come to rest however you like. So as you rest, Feldenkrais repeats in various ways in the as commentary in this lesson. Really minimize the work in the standing leg and hip and knee. Carry the weight in the heel. Soften the chest, soften the neck. Allow the head to move also freely or softly so that you can look out to the horizon, and that as the hip joint, the leg shifts, the adjustment is in the trunk. So the trunk softens in order to accommodate this movement in the leg. And what's it like to rest? As you inhale and exhale here, what's your sense of the soft part of the trunk, the viscera? Feldenkrais comments here specifically, no one can stand without any movement because all of the organs inside, the breathing, the heart, everything moves. It's necessary to learn to master these corrections in standing, the movements in standing, to balance. So you adapt to these corrections until it you also can stand stably even when your stability is shaken. So once you can easily correct yourself, or you can easily correct if the effort is zero in the neck, in the pelvis, in the muscles of the legs, it can fix itself, actually. That's what he says here. Otherwise, any real disturbance in stability causes a real falling down. All right. Excuse me. When you're ready to continue, come to stand once again. Put the eyes on the horizon and note if there's a sense of easiness or freedom in the base of the neck, the base of the skull there at the neck. and that the viscera are soft, the breathing, while perhaps light, is free. And come again onto the right heel, taking the left foot out to the side a little, perhaps just touching with the toe or with the ball of the foot, somewhere where the leg is extended a little to the left, but you're taking no weight in it. And note where you have put the right hip joint to do that, to make this easy, where you can breathe softly, and the work in the knee and the hip is minimized. And now begin to take the head of the right hip joint, the top of it, forward and back in space. So you leave the weight in the heel rather than coming onto the ball of the foot, but swing the top of that stick of the leg a little forward and a little back, and look for, as you pass through at the middle there, the highest point. And know what you do in the neck and head. Is it possible to really soften there so that the head, of course it moves and the neck adjusts, but leave the head relatively quiet so that the head doesn't swing forward and back so much, but the hip joint moves under the head so that the whole of the spine adjusts gently to allow the head to remain relatively quiet. Of course, it does move some. And see what that's like there. And what is that movement in the right hip joint? And can the breathing be undisturbed? As with Kim's lesson, of course, pause whenever you like. If it's uncomfortable to be on the heel, stand freely, bring the left foot back to the middle, and pause for a moment. As with Kim's lesson, Feldenkrais actually makes a direct comparison to an image. When you move forward and back, the spine is forward and back, so it will be like a snake, as if the spine stands like a snake. All of the vertebrae move, and you do not feel any effort in the chest during the movement. Primarily, make sure the movement is easy, his words. So come back onto the right heel again a little bit and find the hip joint. What do you do in the rest of the pelvis and the torso to bring the weight onto the right heel? And once you feel relatively stable and quiet there, reducing any work in the hip or the knee, swing forward and back again as we just were. So the head is free, the eyes are on the horizon, the shoulders, the rib cage, the spine adjust to allow you to swing the big stick of the leg and that right hip joint forward and back. All right, and then leave that alone and rest however you like before we continue on the other side. Perhaps take a brief stroll. When you're ready to continue, come back and bring more weight into the left heel and extend the right leg out to the side a little bit, kind of in a long line with the torso. Where have you put the pelvis to bring weight into the left heel? And go back and forth from that perhaps a couple of times to find in that shifted position where you want to have the left hip joint, and now begin to take it forward and back as on the other side. The joint goes forward and back here. And what do you do in the chest, the neck, to leave the head free, the breathing free, so that the movements of the chest are what allow you to adjust to the movement, rather than moving the chest to move the hip joint. And then try out a small movement, forward and back, that's kind of light and a little quicker. You just rock that stick of the leg, comes a little forward, a little back, staying on the heel, softening in the chest. And then Try it on the right, that quicker movement. Come over the right heel. Extend the left leg out to the side, taking no weight on it. And what's your balance getting to be like here? Is it possible to find the security of that big, those big joints without any extra muscular effort? And then rest as you wish. Perhaps coming to rest on your back. There's a series of these lessons, and they've been described as the high point of the hip joint lessons. At least Dennis used that term, that descriptive term. But the title of this lesson in Alexander Unai is Slow Improvement. So without or throughout, that the knee of the standing leg doesn't have any or very little work in it, and that you sort out, is there a way you can do less in the hip joint of the standing leg to find that softness and ease of shifting as the leg moves to the side, forward and back. And speaking of the chest, what's the breathing like now? Your sense of the neck. The position of the head. All right, when you're ready to continue, come once again to standing. Pause in standing and really note the breathing, that the chest can hang, the belly is soft. You don't do anything in particular there. It's available to move for breathing and for adjustment of the spine as you come over one leg or the other. And leave the arms hanging to the side and come onto the right heel, extending the left leg out to the side again so you have no weight on it. Note what you do with the right leg and the hip joint there. And pay attention to the right arm as you're standing on the right heel there. And begin to, the left leg is extended lightly. Begin to take listen to this for a sec. You take the whole right arm to the side. So it's not just the movement of lifting the arm at the shoulder, but the arm stays vertical and you take yourself basically over the right to leave the right arm hanging down, but you take it out to the side so that the whole arm goes to the right and then back to the middle. So you have to glide the pelvis to the right and allow the right arm continues to hang, and go far enough so that at some point the left leg lifts from the floor. So it's not that you reach with the right arm, but the right arm comes away from the side as you go to the right. So you think of taking the right shoulder, the whole right arm, as if it were stays vertical, and the whole trunk, the head, everything goes to the right. And what do you do in the right hip joint? Which way does it go? And Feldenkrais says here, if you're using an action of the trunk to lift the leg, well, it will be kind of sudden. And here it could really be quite delicate, that you just really lean out to the right so that the right arm begins to come away from the hip and the side, and then you return to the middle. Looking for a way that this can be quite fine. And the eyes remain on the horizon, and likely your head will move, but you could imagine that the head doesn't move more than it needs to. And that the neck articulates, and that big stick of the leg swings, keeping the left leg lightly extended. So, of course, pause whenever you like. Feldenkrais mentions here that it's a very fine movement as the left leg comes away from the floor. At any rate, pause, take a few steps, rest in standing. When you're ready to come back, stand on your two heels and then shift over onto the left heel, extending the right leg out to the right and balancing on that left heel. And note the hanging of the whole right arm and shoulder girdle and begin to shift. It's as if you want to shift your shoulder to the side. Likely it means some leaning. It's not a tricky movement, but the arm stays hanging down and keep moving out in that direction until you tip far enough with the left arm coming away from the side so that the right foot lifts from the floor almost on its own. And think maybe that the left arm comes in to bring the right foot back down to the floor. And what's the swinging of the hip joint right and left like? And is there a moment where you kind of lose your balance and it's sudden? Feldenkrais says here, it's better to fall off to the left than it is to over-control it and lift the right leg intentionally. So it could be, which way does the pelvis, the hip joint go as you tip off to the left? What happens to it there? It's possible it goes one way or it's possible it goes the other way. Does it come in toward the middle more as you take the arm out to the side? Or does the hip fall with the arm? If the latter, see if it's possible to, as you go to the left, that maybe the hip joint comes a little to the right. Like it swings underneath as you go to the left. And keep the breathing soft. Try once or twice going to the other side and searching for that spot where the extended leg left. So you'll come onto the right heel and begin to extend the left leg out to the left. Let the right arm swing out. Which way does the hip joint go? As it slides sort of, in a sense, under the torso. And that the balance can be quite delicate, especially if the breathing is free and the neck is free. And the head may go with or it may go counter a little bit. You try different things and see, in service of finding that hip joint, what's that like? Feldenkrais says here, slowly, if you do it 20 times, all of a sudden you will distinguish something really good. So the whole chest softens, the neck softens. And you just try it out. And when you're ready to rest, come to your back and rest. You know, depending on how the lesson is going from you, he's quite clear. You'll see that it's not possible to achieve at the first moment or movement. Just feel how many disturbances there are in the neck and chest when you stand. Many see this now. But again, when you're ready to rest, come to rest on your back. What's your sense of the softness of the base of the neck, the rib cage, the shoulder girdle, the abdomen? All right, and I've come once again to stand and Phil and Chris, as we try something like before. So begin to come onto the right heel, but take the right arm overhead and bring the fingertips near the left temple, above the left ear somewhere, so that you're reaching over the head. And come onto the right heel, sort out what you need to do there to keep things soft, and begin to tip the head and arm. Oh, and the trunk, perhaps the long left leg, which is out to the side without using it for support. Move the elbow and the head and the shoulder girdle to the right to lift the left leg. So it's a kind of counterbalancing. There's no intentional effort to lift the left leg. What happens in the right hip joint? Which side does it move to as you move the head and elbow off to the right? So that it's the action in the hip joint and the right knee is soft. And can the breathing be continuous? And as you look out to the horizon now, of course the head is moving. So sort this out. There's a couple little variations there. What you do in the trunk, perhaps. Pause whenever you like. Come back to it a couple of times, perhaps, and see. As you initiate this, you've come onto the heel. Which direction did the top of that hip joint go? Did it go to the right or left? And as you bend to the right and let the right long left leg softly come away from the floor, what happens there? And when you return to the middle, what happens? Look for no change in the breathing, a real soft action in that hip joint. A softness in the trunk. All right, and leave it in rest in standing or upright somehow. Just pause being upright somewhere, and when you're ready to come back to it, try the same thing off to the left. So you bring the weight into the, bring yourself over the left heel, sorting out where that left hip joint is, reach with the left arm overhead so that it's on the right temple or above the right ear. And what do you do in that hip joint? Which direction does it go? To gently tip to the left now so that that extended right leg slowly lifts from the floor and slowly comes back as you tip back the other way. How's that process of finding the highest point in that swinging of the leg right and left going? Take care not to hold the breath. It's difficult to do, Feldenkrais says here, and this means in respect to the amount of attention, time, and quiet needed. Not difficult because of effort. And try making it a little bit smaller and a little bit quicker that you tip and the right leg lifts. Which way does the head of the left femur, the left hip joint, go as you tip to the left and back? And when you're ready, leave it, rest however you like. What's your sense of the location of the two hip joints as you rest on your back? The sense of the two arms, the two shoulder joints, the base of the neck and the head. And the action of breathing, the actions of breathing. Before we come to standing the last time in the lesson, to return to a previous movement, Feldenkrais here is commenting, when you return to the movement, pay attention where you feel powerfully the resistance to the movement. Pay attention to this place and make it softer. Do not make it stronger. If there is effort in that place, find there is effort in that place that isn't at all necessary. Stop it, and the leg will stand well. Check the whole body so as to get rid of any unnecessary efforts from the right hand, the right elbow, the fingers, the neck, the shoulders, the chest, the pelvis, the stomach, the breathing, the toes of the long leg, the power in the standing leg. You will see that as long as there's strength or power in the left leg, it's impossible to lift. It's possible with power, but then you hold the body and it does not really stand well. So clearly, Feldenkrais is recognizing that some difficulty for people in the room in this lesson. When you're ready, come back to stand and stand over the 2 feet. See what that's like. What's your sense of the hip joints with the 2 feet on the floor with the weight distributed throughout the foot on each side? And then come to stand, shift so that you are standing over the right heel again. The pressure is in the right heel and the left leg extends a little to the side, perhaps touching down the toes. It's not involved in standing. Can you come in and out of that position a couple times and see that it doesn't? Is it possible to reduce the effort in the left leg? And then come back to this movement of just taking the hanging right arm out to the side, so the right shoulder moves to the right and the arm hangs down. There's not any work in the right arm. What do you do with the head? What do you do with the joint, the right hip joint? As you tip far enough with the arm, take the arm far enough to the right that the left foot and that long left leg come away from the floor at some point. Gently, gradually, without work in the hip joint, without work in the leg. So the breathing is easy. All those things that Feldenkrais was just mentioning, without power. That the trunk accommodates the tipping of the leg. And then pause in the middle and try out the other side when you're ready. That you come onto the left heel. Clearly, there's no work in the left leg. The right leg is extended long, a little out to the right, so there's maybe the toes touching. And swing the whole right side, the long right arm out. Oh, excuse me, the left arm out to the left. As you counterbalance, take the top to the left so that the long right leg eventually gently lifts. And what happens in the left leg? Which way does it move to counterbalance? What happens in that hip joint that can be possibly, or possibly when you return to this at some future time, that could be an easy action there without work in the hip joint itself, without work in the standing knee, and with a softness in the chest, the neck, and the breathing. that it could be a little quick, that it could be very slow and delicate. Try the other side again if you like to compare. Is there something you do in the hip joint or the leg, the standing leg on one side, that you could improve on the other side? What do you do with the rib cage on one side or the other? Do you do the same thing as you go to the left and right, or is it symmetrical? And then before we close, gently stay on one side and just try the very delicate version of the movement. We just tip until the extended leg on the other side lifts from the floor. But it's quite delicate. And that the standing leg hip joint, what is the movement through space of that? And note, of course, the base of the neck, how the head moves, the freedom in the spine to adjust to the needs of this movement. And when you're ready to leave it, please experiment a little more if you like, but when you're ready to leave it, come to your back and rest. Simply rest. And then take up the five lines. Central line coming up from the middle part of the very low pelvis and the tailbone, all the way up through the central part of the trunk, through the base of the neck, the base of the skull, top of the head, the two arm lines coming out from the base of the neck through those big joints of the shoulders, down through the elbows and wrists, the hands, and the leg lines from the middle of the low part of the trunk, that part of the spine there below the navel somewhere, through the big hip joints and the big joints of the knees, down to the heels. And what is the quality of your breathing? We'll have a brief break here and we'll close down the recordings. If you'd like to come back and talk a couple minutes, please do. Thank you, everyone.